Yes. Now we have those Friday night and the Saturday morning open lines, plus a bizarre hotline night. Let me tell you why. These are some stories, actual stories that have happened on this planet over the years. Listen to these things. There was a woman by the name of Margaret Bell. She kept bees. That's what she did. She collected them. She had thousands of them. She had them in her near her house, 7 miles around England in that area. She lived near downtown. She died in 1994. Soon after her funeral, mourners were amazed to see hundreds and hundreds of bees settle on the corner of the street opposite the house where she lived for 26 years. The bees stayed for an hour before buzzing off over the rooftops, never to be seen again. Local newspaper there ran a photograph of the bees hanging on the wall in a cluster. They say the bees were there to pay their last respects. Can you believe that? And then listen to this one. Back on December 11th of 2002, two motorists called police. They saw a car veering off the road with their headlights blazing. A thorough search did uncover a car concealed in dense undergrowth and a long dead driver nearby. The problem is the crash didn't occur that night. It had actually happened 5 months earlier when the driver, a fellow by the name of Christopher Chandler, had been reported missing by his brother. Isn't that weird? How about this one? In a regular shaped hole, and I want you to try to picture this, 10 feet by 7 feet with 2 foot vertical sides, okay? Just kind of like, it's kind of in a regular shaped hole, 10 feet by 7 by 2 feet vertical sides, was found by a remote farmer near Washington State in 1984. It had not been there a month earlier. Dribblings of earth and stones led to a 3-ton grass-covered earth divot 75 feet away. It was almost as if this divot had been removed from this hole like a giant cookie cutter, except the roots dangled intact from the vertical side of both the underneath it. No clues, no vehicle traps, nothing. It was as if something came down from above and just went, whoosh, pulled it right out. And then a 9-year-old Chinese girl was playing near Shanghai in 1992 when she was carried off by a whirlwind. It deposited her unhurt in a treetop. 2 miles away, it took her. And then in 1986, a freak wind lifted up 13 children from an area in western China. 13 of them, took them all away and deposited them all unharmed in sand dunes. 12 miles away. Can you believe that? And then, of course, lastly, there were boulders and trees near Yellowwood State Forest in Indiana. 500-foot rocks were found wedged in trees, and nobody, and I mean nobody, knows how they got there. Now, that's bizarre. Here's the bizarre hotline. I don't know if you have similar stories like that, but if you do, share them. 818-817-0021. That's 818. 817-0021, the Bizarre Hotline. I'm George Norrie. Open lines next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We've got open lines for you tonight. At the end of the program, a tribute to the late Dr. Tom Van Flandern, astronomer, passed away on January 9th of colon cancer, came up with the theory that he believes something blew up, a planet blew up, and that has, of course, become the asteroid belt, and talked about his theories on Mars as well. We're going to do that as a special tribute to Tom, a great individual. I'd been with him, several months ago in a conference on the West Coast, and I got to tell you, this guy performed. He was on this panel for several hours. For someone who was not feeling well, he hid it well, as his son Michael told me last night. Just a remarkable individual. So we're going to do that right at the end of the program tonight. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the Bizarre Line. Drew in Raleigh, North Carolina, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hey, Drew, welcome to the show.
Hey there, thanks.
You got a bizarre one for us?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, it has to pertain to Coast to Coast AM.
Uh-oh.
The bizarre thing was, I guess, 4 years ago, I'm your board operator here, and Art Bell was hosting the show. You guys had a caller from, what, Area 61, I think it is?
51, yeah.
51. And 5 minutes into the call, he started crying, freaking out. Boom, you guys were dead. Satellite dropped out. And I think I've lost the satellite one other time with Premier Radio Network. So that was because the sun went in front of it, but never at night.
It's bizarre.
Yup.
It really is. Okay, well, hey, you keep us on the air down there.
Will do. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Drew. Next up, Lori in Cocoa Beach, California, east of the Rockies. No, it can't be. You got to be in Florida, right?
That's right, George.
That's right. Well, it says California, but I know Cocoa Beach is in Florida.
And I can't believe that I got through to you because I talked to Tommy a couple of nights ago when you were on with Paul and the phone went dead. And I was supposed to talk to you.
Well, you're in.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you, I tried to call last night, same thing happened, but I'm not surprised. My father-in-law worked with Dr. Wernher von Braun. He's one of the few left alive rocket scientists that worked with him.
Okay, that's a great... So tell me, what did he tell you?
Well, there's not a... There's some things that I do know. What I wanted to tell you, though, is that there is life. And I know that this is what I do know. I found this out 2 weeks ago. And I'm sure that whoever's listening on my phone wants to know what I know. And I can't disclose the information of who I know this from.
But you can tell us what you know.
Yes, I'm going to tell you what I know. Okay. And what I do know is that these life forms, that the planet from which they came was desolate. There was something that happened to it. And that's why they're here, and they've been here a long time.
What do they look like?
Well, that was the problem. That I couldn't get any more information than that. The person that told me this was very afraid of my house being tapped, even.
Now, is this something, Lori, that von Braun knew?
Yes, I believe so. I believe he knew.
What did your relative say to you about that specifically? Anything?
No, not exactly, but I spoke... I told Tommy I'm taking a really big chance here because it is sensitive information, and my husband works for the government, and we have lots of friends that work for NASA, but there's very few that are left alive. I know that Dr. Gorner is still alive. I probably pronounced his name wrong, but he's still alive in Titusville, and there's only a couple that are left alive that worked with von Braun.
You mean they're just passing away because of age, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's right, because
right.
of age.
Nothing's happening to them.
No, nothing's happening, but I've had some bizarre encounters, and I can't believe I got through.
Well, why, Lori, is this such a big secret, this visitation, these entities? Is there something that we should be worried about?
I'm not exactly sure. I think that because I don't know if people would understand because of everything that's going on. But it seems to me like every time that there's going to be some kind of disclosure, there's some kind of crisis.
And there's just no way you can describe what these entities look like, huh?
No, because this person was quite vague with me about it, but I directly asked this person.
Why did they even tell you anything?
I think because I kept persisting about it, and I have my own, like I told Tommy, I have gifts myself, similar to Paul's, and I've had them ever since I could remember. And, I can't believe, like I said, I got through to you, and I've had an encounter with a CIA agent this past week, even.
Over what? Over this?
Over my father-in-law, basically, but he knew about, he knew about my father-in-law and our past and everything, our family, and it frightened me. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to broadcast this, because if anything does happen to me, you know, I want somebody to know about it.
Well, you've done that, Lori, and we've got your back covered on that one. But you didn't reveal too much, so I wouldn't worry, okay? I wouldn't worry unless they truly think you know more than you're really saying. Next up, let's go to Somerville, Massachusetts. Thomas on the wild card line. Hey, Thomas.
George, how are you?
Good.
2 points. I want to give information on why 2009 is guaranteed to be lucky, and also some important information about CERN.
Okay.
And the luck is verifiable. In 2008, began on a Tuesday and ended on a Wednesday.
All right.
A Tuesday is a Mars day, and a Wednesday is a Mercury day. Now, if you want smooth communication, Mercury has to come first and Mars second. Since Mars came first and Mercury second, that means there's rough communication. So in 2008, we had rough communication.
We sure did. That's
okay.
True.
2009 begins on a Thursday and ends on a Thursday. Thursday is the planet of Jupiter. That means that 2009 is pure luck. Okay? Second thing, you missed the point on the fantastic interview with David Wilcock, which is when he talked about when they were working on the ships to make them invisible.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ships, when they turned it off, they went in there and they found that the tools were missing, and so they checked it again, and they viewed the whole process, and they discovered that there appeared a black hole. Okay, now they wouldn't have said the tools were missing, because it's an irrelevant fact, unless there was something really strange.
Right.
So it appeared to be a black hole. Okay. So what that proves is that in that tiny situation, in one ship, okay, a black hole appeared and it went about its business right away. It took the tools out. Okay. It took what it could grab right away. All right. Now, how does one ship and the size of one ship compare to the CERN collider in terms of power?
That's a good question, because
okay,
this, as you well know, this collider has incredible power.
Okay, so what I'm saying is we know for a fact that our scientists have created a black hole. They did it by accident. Okay, I believe anyone can in the government can verify this. Okay, so since we know that we can create a situation with a black hole, then we have this massive power that can create a black hole. How big do you think the black hole is going to be?
Well, they talk about it being very, if it happens, they're going to be very, very small, but they could grow.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that in this tiny ship, a black hole appeared and right away went about its business, okay?
Yeah.
They don't know how big it can be.
That's true.
Okay. So what the ship thing proves is that you can go about studying the primal forces in a small contained matter. You don't have a mass. You don't need a massive thing to study these forces. So anyone in government who has any common sense and care about the planet and people has got to shut that thing down, okay, and take it apart.
Well, it's supposed to go online in September again. They've had their problems, as you know. Let's go to the bizarre line. Tony in Maryland, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Let's see. This event happened to me when I was a little kid, and something that stuck with me forever. It was like a, you know, summertime, and I was waking up in the morning, and just getting ready to go about my normal business, and then this thing started to unfurl around my window. Out of nowhere, it was like this giant, like, bit of smoke. Now, I'm not making this up. You know, it really happened.
No, I'm with you.
It started to unfurl, and it kind of, like, looked like a shadowy form of a blind that came down with it, and this figure, you know, started to, like, you know, appear out of it and look at me, and I couldn't scream at first, but, you know, the next minute, I'm, like, screaming, I'm punching, I'm kicking, I'm throwing, you know, stuffed animals at it, and, you know, going nuts, and my, you know, my parents came up opposite side of the house and, you know, like, ran to get me. They were, like, trying to figure out what was wrong. I was, like, you know, inconsolable and couldn't, you know, let them know what happened, but, I mean, this thing, like, appeared right in front of me, and it was just kind of, you know, these weird eyes, just dark, like, nothing there.
Scared the heck out of you.
That was probably the most afraid I've ever been. And, you know, ever since then, I've had, like, all, you know, I don't know, maybe a doorway or something opened up. Because, you know, now I have, like, constantly, like, weird things happening to me.
Yeah, a portal. They keep coming.
Well, yeah, I think I chased something away, and it got really, like, angry with me. A couple months back, I just got a brand-new storage facility and put stuff in it. And, I mean, literally, this place is maybe a month and a half old. And you know, put the stuff in there. And, you know, I start having these problems again where I'm seeing things. It's like almost like these shadow things, like little animals running around the wall, like just dashing in front of me. Like,
well, you know what happened, Tony? You have opened up something. I don't know how you did this. And the floodgates have opened, and they keep coming. Be careful, because it could be a warning sign. Mark, let's go to you on the wild card line. Hey, Mark, where are you calling from?
Hey, good evening, George. I'm calling from Florence, Oregon.
Okay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. George, you know, you've probably noticed how fast events are moving in the political, economic spheres globally.
Yes, too fast.
Yeah, and in the wrong direction.
Yeah, good point.
But really, if you could have Alex Jones and also Irwin Baxter on in the next couple of weeks to kind of bring everybody up to speed on everything that's happened from their point of view since the last time they appeared on your show, I think it probably, you know, just my suggestion, George, you know best, but I think it'd be a really timely visit for each one of them.
Working on Alex, we have not talked about Mr. Baxter, but I guess we can address that.
Great. Yeah, Alex is, I think, just coming back off a week's vacation in the next day or two, so he'll be nice and fresh for you. As if he's not on.
I'm not sure
anyway.
Alex takes vacations, even if
he did. Well, he took a week off the radio anyway.
Right.
Monday through Friday.
Knowing him, he's investigating something.
He's doing a field trip. And the other thing is, George, you'd mentioned Patrick Swayze, I think, a week or two ago, and what a nice guy he was.
Yes.
He gave that account of how you and Tommy had seen him in a restaurant.
Yep.
And, you know, I just got that impression from seeing him in the movie, and I think I might have seen him on a talk show years ago. But it's really transparent with him. He really radiates that decency about him. Some people have that you can, even strangers can tell it about him, that they're really decent people. And Tommy and I were just speaking of that when I wanted to mention to you about Patrick Swayze's pancreatic cancer, because he's had it for at least a couple of years now. I think it's been going on a while.
Sure.
Relative to Dr. Christian Wild, and Tommy said that you and he had discussed that last week or so, maybe getting in touch or getting the information to Patrick Swayze about the adult stem cell therapy as
Absolutely.
Well as the turmeric.
And we've also approached, I think Christian is trying to approach Michael J. Fox to take care of his affliction as well. I really believe the things that Christian Wild is doing as a reporter and writer and investigator are absolutely miraculous, with the doctors, the real science that is out there trying to solve some of these. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We continue with the Bizarre Hotline and the rest of the open lines. Hey, this weekend, two great shows for you. Ian Punnett, Diffusing Armageddon, and then on Sunday, George Knapp joins us as we talk about secret government documents, including the Stargate files of the 80s. Two great shows for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Don't forget the special hotline we've got for you, which is 818-817-0021. It's the Bizarre Line. Let's go back to the phones now. Let's go to Sacramento, California. Maury, it's your turn. Hey, Maury, how are you?
I'm good.
What's new?
Actually, I just missed your story. I heard like the last 10 minutes of Erica.
Yeah.
And I have a story to tell you about the Queen Mary.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We went in September, and we went to the Dining with the Spirits.
Okay. Now, that I haven't done. Tell me about it.
Oh. Number one, when we were down in the hall, there was a period where we turned off the lights and asked the spirits to communicate. And I was standing near the stairwell, and I got a really bad feeling about it. So I moved away from the stairwell.
Okay.
And as I did that, there was a group in the center, and a man said he saw something pass right in front of him.
Ooh.
And there, I was in the outer circle. He saw something pass right in front of him. We all turned our lights back off. He calmed down. We turned them back off again, and I swear I saw something like a black ball fly down the stairs. And I didn't say anything because I'm really a non-believer, and I thought I was hallucinating. But then Erica said someone just came down the stairs, and she said it like 2 seconds after I saw this thing come down.
That's weird. And did
it was freaky.
Chilling.
Oh, yeah, it was chilling. Other people said they saw things moving back and forth in the room, and we kind of left kind of abruptly after that. It was kind of like turn on the lights and let's go.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, and then in the pool room, we had several experiences. Number one, there was a period where I was sitting once again kind of towards, like I said, I'm a non-believer, so I was sitting on the outside watching, but suddenly I smelled somebody smoking a cigarette. And once again, I wanted to move towards the group instead of being on the outside.
Uh-huh.
And Erica noticed, and she said, is there something bothering you? I said, I smell cigarettes over there. And she said, no. And I said, yeah, it's like somebody lit a match and was smoking a cigarette. And she goes, that's not good. And she told us that there is an entity on the ship that's not a very friendly entity, and that's one of their calling cards.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know.
Now, did you become a believer after that trip?
I am so confused now. It's amazing that something like this that you don't really believe in, and then you have these experiences. And I'll tell you what, after that, we went into another area they call the vortex.
Yes.
And everyone was seeing things coming in and out of the rooms. And
it truly is. You know, having been there a couple of years ago, soon to be there again on Sunday, it is really a weird place.
It's amazing. And it opens you up to a whole nother, literally another dimension. And the thing is that as this was happening, we'd have the, what did they call them, paranormals? They were in our group.
Mm-hmm.
And lady that was part of the group started saying, back off, really strongly, like something was in her face. And then she called the name of the evil or the angry entity as though he was confronting her and he'd been following us around on the ship.
Did it work for her?
Well, here's what happened is I was in this one spot. I know. And I started feeling it. Maybe it was the tension, but I started feeling something behind me. And then we all heard something walk across all of our cubicles. And nobody was else. We were all in the area. There was nobody above us.
Did you feel the temperatures, Maury, go down or drop?
Actually, I was getting flushed because I was getting really nervous.
Okay.
And then the last thing that happened was my whole cubicle cracked like a house settling, and I just tore out of there.
That was it.
Because it snapped. Literally, you could hear wood snapping.
Well, I've got to tell you, I believe this is real. I've believed this all my life. And you're getting there.
I think it is an amazing place. If anybody wants to go and get to that place, that is definitely one of the places to go.
And when you said originally that you were a non-believer in this, do you believe in life after death? Do you believe that there is a spirit world? Maybe not that.
No,
at the
I don't have any notions of what there is out there. It's all fascinating, but I'm not religious. I'm not particularly spiritual. I believe in, self-motivation, stuff like that.
But you don't think it just ends, do you? Or you just don't know?
I don't know what it turns into. But Now, that was amazing.
Well,
it was amazing.
We all go through those moments of doubt about the other side. Because that's the frightening part of all of this. Who wants to think it all just ends? No, you want to know that it just goes on forever, but there's just too many other stories associated with it. Too many strange things happen. I'm convinced the other side exists. I really am. Next up, let's go to Kyle in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hello, Kyle. Thanks for calling.
George?
Yeah.
When I was 19, I had a near-death experience. I'm 23 now. I suffered a stroke. I had a blood clot in my head.
Oh, my gosh.
As it turns out, I actually don't have too many problems left over from it.
Good for you. Yeah.
What happened was there was a doctor error, and I actually crashed and was dead for almost a minute. I had like an out-of-body experience where I felt myself raise up, and I saw an incredibly bright light and I heard a voice that identified itself as the Archangel Gabriel. And he said to me, "Child of God, it is not your time, but you are lost. The Lord has bestowed upon you a second chance. Trust in him, and you shall have everlasting life." At the time, I was an atheist, and so I believe that's what he meant by "you are lost." And now my my faith is strong, and thankfully I have actually recovered almost completely.
Well, you sound good. What caused the stroke, Kyle?
Blood clot.
What caused that too? Do you know?
I have a blood clotting disorder that it's not diagnosed unless you have a problem.
And you're taking your meds now and all that?
I'm just on a blood thinner, yeah.
Coumadin, probably, huh?
Actually, no. I just take aspirin.
That's it?
Yeah, I'm lucky enough that...
Good for you.
Yeah, actually, it's great. I've been blessed. Now, I'm sensitive to certain things. I feel presences, like an inner peace, kind of like a guardian angel watching over me.
When the stroke occurred... and, you know, you eventually came home from the hospital. What was wrong with you? What did it do to you?
The right side of my body was weaker than the left. My face drooped a little bit on that side.
Okay.
I also have hardly any feeling in my right hand. That's gotten a little bit better. The doctors had me do some facial exercises that fixed the right side. Made the muscle stronger, and you can hardly tell that anything happened.
Good for you.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get back?
Physically, it took me maybe about a year. Mentally, I have a problem where I have brain damage. I have a learning disability as far as numbers and computation. That's gotten a little bit better. Other than that, I haven't seen too many changes. I've actually finished my college degree, and... looking for a job right now.
What are you degreed in?
History.
You want to be a teacher?
Yes, actually. Yeah,
okay.
I'm hoping.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of great stories to tell.
Yeah.
About his. Did your friend stick by you when this happened?
Yes, actually. My girlfriend, she lived in New York. I live in Pittsburgh. She would come down a couple times a week from New York and spend time with me. My parents took time off work, and I had a lot of support from family and friends, and that's partially, I think, why I pulled through.
Absolutely. You got a lot to look forward to.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, Kyle. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing that with us. That takes guts. Next up, let's go to Jessica in San Antonio, Texas.
Hello?
Hello, Jessica.
Hi, how are you?
Who is this?
This is Jessica.
Oh, I'm on the other line. How did
You're
I get...
The other...
I'm calling about a ghost story.
A ghost story?
Yeah, but how did I get you? You're not... Are you doing the show?
No.
You're not the... Where's George?
I don't know. I called to talk to George myself.
What are you going to call him for?
About shadow people.
I saw one of them.
I've never seen them.
Well, how come you're calling about them?
Because I could feel it. Like, I could feel spirits and entities, but I can't see them.
Well,
mom sees them. We stay in the same house,
well,
but I can't.
This is my first call, so I can't wait to get on and talk about my ghost.
This is my first time. I've been trying to get on for the past 3 months.
Oh, 3 months? I've been trying for 7 years.
Oh, wow. I've just started listening back in October. I work overnight now.
Oh, I've been listening for years. Art Bell's show and then George. I like this show. I love it.
Well, one of the other officers told me about it. You know, it's like nothing's on the radio. You can't do nothing because I do security. And there's nothing that you can do out here but listen to the radio.
Can you hear he's on the air now? You can hear that on the other side?
No, I don't hear nothing. All I hear is you. They told us to turn the radio off.
What's your name?
Jessica.
Okay. I think they're going to you next because I hear them talking about you.
Okay.
All right. I better be quiet then. I don't want to disrupt what you're doing. All right. Let's go to Jessica in San Antonio, Texas. Jessica, welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. I have the weirdest thing that just happened. Well, I don't know if it
welcome
was
to the show. What happened to you?
Okay. I heard you say, now we're going to come to Jessica, and then somebody else came on the phone. And he said he was waiting to talk
to me. I went to your phone, and there was nobody there, so I took another phone call.
That's weird. And what, you were still on the line?
Yes, we were talking to each other. He was saying that he had a ghost story, and he asked me what I was calling for.
What are you calling for?
Well, I've been trying to get through, but it's always busy, busy, busy. One night, I called so many times, and my Bluetooth died.
Well, that, Jessica, that does happen. People have been trying for years to get into this program.
I'm so absolutely happy to get through. I love what you do. But the reason why I'm calling is I can feel spirits and entities, and my mom says that she sees shadow people in the house. And I'm wondering, why don't I see them?
Why don't you see shadow people? Well, sometimes you need to be more sensitive to picking that up, Jessica. Not everybody sees these things. I see, and I've seen shadow rodents. I saw a shadow dog. I don't see shadow people, but the fact that
I see shadow rodents and stuff like that. That I do see, but like shadow people, like I can feel it. You know, it's like a shadow where a shadow shouldn't be created. You know what I mean?
Do you really want to see shadow people?
I don't necessarily know if I want to see it, but I mean, it's just like, you know how you feel something and then you turn and then it's like, it's, you know, because I have kids and you know how they're peeping around the corner trying to see what you're doing. And then you try and kind of turn, and then they kind of step back. That's what it feels like. And this happens most of the time when I have this feeling. My kids are not at home.
What do you mean?
They're not at home, but, you know, because usually my kids, they do that. They try to see what I'm doing in the room.
Right.
You know, they're just nosy. But it's like they'll go to their grandmother's house, and it'll just be me at home by myself. And I'm just sitting there, and I don't watch much TV. So, you know, I'm sitting there, and it's like a shadow where it couldn't be a shadow because it's no light right there.
You know what? Maybe you're pretty fortunate, though, that you don't see anything.
Well, maybe I'm fortunate, but I just wanted to know, like, what it could be. And maybe it's not a shadow person.
See, I think...
trying to come to me.
I think what they are, Jessica, is I think they're coming from another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And things get out of kilter every once in a while. I don't know what does it. And sometimes we see them, sometimes they see us, because a lot of people report that they're not aware of them, and then some other people say, no, that they seem to look right at me or something like that. But I just think that there's some kind of a warp somewhere, and they filter through.
Oh. Is it okay if I ask one more question?
Absolutely.
Okay, about out-of-body experiences.
I've had one in my life when I was 11. And you?
Well, I don't know if I've had one, but because, like, I don't remember my dreams. I have a lot of deja vu.
Okay.
And but it's like lately I can remember flying around.
Ah.
And then do you be exhausted after that?
Yeah, that could happen. You're not getting enough energy sleep. You know, what the astral body is, when you go to bed, it's very normal for it to float out of your body, and it hovers over your body. And in the sleep state, that's how your body regenerates, okay? And your astral body regenerates the same way. Now, some people have the gift of waking up in their astral bodies. And when they do, they have these incredible abilities to travel, to do anything in the astral state. I mean, you can literally go to other planets if you know how to do this and do this well. And when you get this feeling of flying, we gotta look at two things. One, even though you don't recall your dreams, is it a dream? And that's possible. Or maybe you are in the astral state. Now, when you say you're flying, what do you see? I mean, are you going through the ceiling and things like that?
No, I don't see it in the beginning. It's just like... it's like an awakening, and it's like, where am I at? You know, it's like you sleep. You know, last thing I remember is going to sleep. And then it's like, next thing I know, I see, you know, I'm seeing, like, clouds and stars. And
you may be, You may be doing astral projection. You're just not aware that you're, the next time this happens, does it happen a lot?
Well, I don't know. It's happened at least maybe 3 times this past week.
Well, that's a lot. The next time it happens, try to convince yourself to wake up. Not physically, but in this astral body, okay? Somehow.
Once I get up and I'm like, and I realize where I am, it's like I fall down.
Yeah, you got to keep practicing. You may be doing this at and you don't even know it, and it's happening
like you say, three times a week. Just keep practicing. Go to my website and just type in astral, A-S-T-R-A-L, projection under the search engine at coasttocoastam.com. You'll get a whole bunch of guests that pop up and start reading what they do, okay?
Can I ask you just one more quick question and I'll let you go?
Well, you said that was one more quick question. But
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But it's about this. It's all based on...
Are you a police officer?
No, I'm a security officer.
Oh, okay. Really scared now.
It's all based on this astral projection. You can go into the future. Is that maybe why I have deja vu?
Yes. That can happen a lot. You can do incredible things. You also might be doing remote viewing and you don't even know that. Which is going into the future and coming back and everything else.
And I wouldn't even know it until it happens, because that's what happens. I'd be like, I did this before, and I've never been there before.
No, absolutely. You may be.
Well, thank you very much. I'm so happy I got to get
And you. And what was that? What happened to you again now? I got a little confused. Did the lines cross when you got on?
Well, I guess the lines crossed because I heard you say, well, we have Jessica. And then some dude, like, it scared me at first because he has a raspy voice. And he's like, hello? I'm like, what? I'm like, this is not George.
You mean it was another caller?
He said that it was his first time calling and he's been trying to get through ever since Art Bell was there.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I told him, I said, I've been trying to get through for like 3 months.
Was he polite? Was he polite to you? He wasn't rude, was he?
No, he just said he was calling to give a ghost story. And we just chit-chatting and he said he turned on the radio. And he said that he better be quiet now, just in case he's still there when you call my name.
Poor guy, he's probably on hold somewhere in the batch of all these people. All right, Jessica, bye. Well, I'm glad you got on.
Okay, thank you.
You take care of yourself. Oh, I'm going to burn for that one day, I bet. Hey, if you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Just fire away, and I'll get to it, indeed, and when I come right back, we'll continue with Open Lines. Don't forget, at the end of the program, a very special guest has passed away here, Dr. Tom Van Flandern. I started counting with Tom the amount of coast-to-coast guests over the last few years that have passed on. Truly a number that is getting too large. I'll be back. Open Lines continue on Coast to Coast AM.